نستعينه ونستغفره
ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له
وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله
يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون
يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم
الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا
يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا
الله وقولوا قولا سديدا
يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم
ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما
ما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله
وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم
وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة
وكل بدعة
ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار
الحمد لله
Praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness.
We seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds.
Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray.
And whoever is that astray, then there is no guide for him.
I bear witness that no God has the right to be
worshipped other than Allah.
He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims.
O humanity,
fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate,
and scattered from them
too many men and women. And fear Allah, for you may demand your mutual rights,
and don't cut off relations with the ones that
bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you.
O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct,
in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins.
And whoever obeys Allah and His
Messenger achieves the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du.
Certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah,
and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen.
And every newly invented matter in this deen is a
bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a string, and every string is
in the fire.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in so many ayat in His book speak of
the importance of knowledge,
of which we have quoted many of those ayat in the past.
The likes of the statement of Allah ta'ala,
فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ
واستغفر لذنبك وللمسلمين وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات الله يعلم متقلبكم ومثواكم.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says,
I command you to have knowledge that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah,
and seek forgiveness for your sins
and for the believing men and the believing women.
To the end of the ayah. I forgot the meaning of the rest of the ayah.
And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and many authentic hadith of which we've quoted many of those before, encourages the seeking of knowledge.
The likes of the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam
from the hadith of Bukhari and Muslim, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. And whoever Allah wants good for, He gives him
an understanding or fiqh of this deen.
This class that
which is actually
going to be more of a test
than a class, we're going to try to accommodate both the brothers and the sisters inshallah ta'ala
in this class.
And the objective of this class
was trying to move on to what we had mentioned
years ago. We said, as there used to be
one class in the masjid
one day a week, we had hoped that there would be
one class a day
every day in the masjid 7 days a week,
and then we would hope that there would be two classes
a day in the masjid 7 days a week,
and then three classes a day, and then four classes
a day, and then five classes a day 7 days a week inshallah ta'ala. where the masjid is constantly open and the circles of knowledge are there, and the Muslims are learning how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in light of the kitab and the sunnah and the manhaj of our salaf al-salih. But in order for the people to teach, the people have to be qualified to teach whatever they're going to teach. And we're hoping, inshallah ta'ala, that this class or this means of testing the brothers and sisters, we will be able to determine who is qualified to teach on whatever particular level that someone is qualified to teach on, inshallah ta'ala. I'm going to try to go over the outline of the things that we hope would be taught in our masjid on a regular basis, inshallah, and then what it's going to take to be qualified in order to teach those classes. Though this is going to be, as we're saying, mostly a test, more so than a class, some of the masses of the Muslims, inshallah ta'ala, are going to try to cater the presentation where they might be able to benefit also from these series of tests or classes, inshallah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Right from the beginning, I'm going to need some help in conducting this series of classes, inshallah ta'ala. And I hope that some of the brothers and sisters will come forward to help us, inshallah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Firstly, I'm going to need people who can read English well and have at least 4 days a week after Salatul Maghrib or Salatul Isha in order to help us with a class, inshallah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That class is going to be one of two classes, one which will be the reading of the Noble Quran in English, and the other class would be the reading of Riyad al-Salihin, or the Gardens of the Righteous, by Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah in English. So when I say we need some good readers, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to take about 30 minutes to 40 minutes, and that reader is going to begin from the beginning of the Muhsin Khan translation of the Quran and then read it to the end. Everyone who participates in that class is going to have, the teacher is going to have a roll book to show that so-and-so was there on such and such a day. Whoever finishes listening to the translation of the Quran, of the Noble Quran from Muhsin Khan, from the beginning to the end, then we're going to give that person a certificate, inshallah ta'ala, that they listen to the recitation, the translation of the Muhsin Khan Quran from the beginning to the end. And that's going to be important because all of these classes, inshallah, for some of the people to get the highest level of certification is going to necessitate that they go through this class, as well as the class on Riyad al-Salihin, which is 2 volumes. That we need a reader too, to take maybe 4 days out of the week, and then to read for a half hour or 45 minutes, and then for the people to be in attendance. We hope, inshallah ta'ala, the likes of these two classes would be ongoing throughout the year, so that they will go through the Quran once, and then twice, and then 3 times, and then 4 times, so that the people who are missing some classes here and there, they might be able to make up those classes the next time that they're reading through the book, inshallah tabaraka ta'ala. I was hoping, inshallah, that it would not only be one reader, but that there might be a couple of readers. For example, if there were 4 readers in 4 days, each reader would take 1 day and read that portion like that for the rest of the class to listen in on. Or if there were 2 teachers, each teacher took 2 days a week, like that. And then we would try to accommodate maybe 2 days on the weekend and 2 days during the week, or 4 days during the weekdays, or whatever the case may be, inshallah tabarak wa ta'ala. Most of the people, they feel, and if you're going to qualify yourself, that what are you going to be doing reading the English now? You're going to qualify yourself. What are you going to do to, what are you going to, how are you going to do that by reading the English? Everybody reads the English translation and everybody benefits. That's why they were translated into English, so that the people might benefit. So in reading this, the people are going to benefit, and the people are going to be teachers or imams or da'is. They need to be the first one to go through the likes of the translation of the Noble Quran and the reading of Riyadh al-Saliheen, rahimahullah. Whoever is going to be reading also, I'm going to try to let them take some of the questions that come up during the reading, inshallah ta'ala. And then we're going to try to schedule some days where there will be a question and answer session. So like there gets to be 25 to 50 questions, whatever the case may be. Something that could be handled in one class period. Then we'll take one class and we'll handle those questions from, say, pages 1 to page 50. And like that, or from verses 1, Surah Al-Baqarah, to verse 100. For example, inshallah ta'ala. And this is how we'll have that course conducted. So I hope that some of the brothers who can read pretty well step forward, so that we could get that going as soon as the brothers step forward. As soon as the brothers and the sisters too, we want to offer this class for the sisters. As soon as the people step forward, sometimes the people say they didn't catch me. If you don't catch me, you can always leave an envelope and I'll check my mail. All you have to do is leave it at the security booth and then they'll make sure that I get it and I can go over it. As I was telling one of the brothers, the mailman delivers the mail to your house even though you're not there. No, the mailman delivers the mail to your house even when you're not home, because he knows when you get home, you're going to check your mail. No, that's the same case here. If we're not here and someone leaves a message, we can always get to that message, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala. Also from amongst the things that we hope that the brothers and the sisters alike will be qualified in is the teaching of wudu and ghusl. And we want to have an ongoing class in our masjid, how many ever days a week the people qualified are able to teach, so that the teaching of the wudu and the ghusl is ongoing in the masjid. Meaning all of the weeks of the year, the wudu and the ghusl is ongoing. For the brothers and sisters, firstly, who want to brush up just to make sure everything is intact, they can go through that course themselves. Or for the brothers and sisters who didn't catch the course in the beginning, then they want to be certified, then they can join the course and then take the test in the end. And if they pass, I think it probably will be like 95 and higher to be certified. Whoever passed with that grade mark, with that grade, then they can sort of be certified, as this will be ongoing in the masjid, inshaAllahu tabarak wa ta'ala. We're going to try to develop, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us, a booklet that we will use for the wudu and the ghusl in the masjid, inshaAllahu ta'ala, for the teaching. That's if we don't use the Ad-Durr al-Bahiyya by Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, or his matan or his text on fiqh issues with a basic explanation of the ulama and a piece of evidence to support every piece or every statement in the chapters of al-wudu and al-ghusl, insha'Allahu tabarak wa ta'ala. And we're going to get started with this soon, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala. Also, what we want to be taught, which has been taught before, is the salat class. And the salat class will be just like the wudu class. We hope that it will be ongoing for those brothers and sisters who want to brush up to make sure everything is correct in the salat. They can take advantage of that. and also the new shahadas when they accept Islam. But all they have to do is know that on a particular day that they can just jump in and learn how to perform the salat properly. We're going to develop a booklet ourselves, inshallah ta'ala, and if not, then we'll probably use the same book by Imam al-Shawkani, rahimahullah. The salat class, like the wudu class, we won't be using the likes of the books which are available in the bookstore, the wudu of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet's prayer described. Alayhi salatu wasalam. As those books are going to be more detailed for the person who is going to be a teacher, it'll probably be a required reading for him that he reads the wudu of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the translation of the Prophet's prayer described. In case some questions may come up in the class, he might be able to answer those questions. But the general class is going to be brief and right to the point, and it's not going to get into big issues of differences of an opinion and all of the good stuff that the people like to get involved in. What it's going to be is a straightforward class in teaching the people how to perform the salah, meaning from the statement Allahu Akbar to Assalamu Alaikum Wa Rahmatullah, Assalamu Alaikum Wa Rahmatullah. To teach the people what's being said and when it's being said throughout the salah and the translation. And to yulaqqin, to say and have the people repeat after you to make sure that everyone's pronunciation is halfway proper and the recitation of the Arabic throughout the salah. This will be the importance of the salah class. So it will kind of be ongoing from beginning to end, beginning to end, beginning to end, like that through the year. So even if a new shahada accepts Islam, may Allah guide the people to Islam, and then he joins the class, and they're at a particular point in the class, he would just pick up wherever they are. And then if someone else could help him on the side, then somebody might help him on the side. But the importance of these classes are not to get into the detailed issues of wudu and salat, but it's basically just to teach the people how to perform the wudu and the salat and the ghusl properly, inshaAllah tabarak wa ta'ala. And we hope that a portion of the brothers and the sisters are eager to be involved in being certified in the likes of these classes, because this is always needed. And it's needed for throughout the week and also different time periods. Because some of the brothers or sisters, they might work in the evening and their days are free. And other people work in the day and their evenings are free. So we might have some salat classes, say for example, after Salatul Dhuhr, when most people are in work, but the people work in the evening, they're available, so we might have that available like that. Or for some of the people work in the mornings, then it might be more available for them in the evenings. Or some people who have days off like Tuesday and Wednesday, and they work on the weekends, or Thursday and Friday, they're off and they're working on the weekends, and what have you, we might have some days throughout the week, so that we might be able to accommodate the maximum amount of schedules of the Muslims, so that everyone can be on knowledge of their deen and worship and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, we're going to try to offer the Quranic reader class, of which was given before in the past by Ishaq. And inshallah ta'ala, we hope to have more people to participate in being certified and teaching this class, where you teach the people the alphabet, Aleph, Ba, Ta, and how to read Arabic, and to basically be able to read the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We've compiled the book and adapted it to our situation, and it's finished, alhamdulillah, for this called Al-Abjadiyya fil Qira'at Al-Arabiyya or fil qira'ati wal kitabati wal imla' al arabiyya. So this class will be offered too soon, and the people who are going to be certified in that class will probably conduct that class here, as we will some of the other classes right after Salatul Maghrib, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala. That class too, like the other classes, we hope that it will be ongoing throughout the year, and not that we will have it one time and then it's over with, but that it will be ongoing. Alright, maybe the first teacher or teachers who teach the course, they might want to teach it, say, twice a year, for example. And then some of those students who pass and qualify themselves, then they might be able to also teach for the other periods or the other times of the year that the other teachers are not teaching it, and then maybe someone might teach it for 2 years and then like that and what have you, so that it's ongoing, that we learn how to read Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. There's going to be Quran, or the Quran has been offered, and there's not going to be anything in particular offered here except testing. And the brothers are going to have to take advantage of whoever is teaching them how to read the Quran. And here we're going to ask that the people are tested from Suratul Fatiha and Ayatul Kursi, and the last three ayat from Suratul Baqarah, and from Surah Al-A'la to Surah Al-Nas, that the people be tested in these surahs, and they won't be tested for their memorization only, but they'll be tested for proper pronunciation and tajweed. So the brothers, they will have to sit with people and to get their Quran ready to be tested. Whoever is tested and does so poorly, he won't be able to be tested again until he passes the course on Al-Abjadiyya, or the Arabic Quranic Reader course. Because some of the brothers, they've memorized the Quran or memorized surahs from the Quran, but they didn't go through any proper training, so they didn't get their pronunciation proper, or their tajweed and their reading of the Quran is not proper, so you find it impossible to test him and let him pass. He has to basically go through a course, take some time and go through, and then this will allow him to better correct his pronunciation and tajweed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book, the Quran. As many of the people may have memorized this amount or these surahs of the Quran, but they haven't memorized them properly. And we will focus in this course, inshallah ta'ala, on the testing, that the recitation is proper and the tajweed is in place, inshallah tabarak wa ta'ala. And then those people who pass, hopefully they might be able to help the other people to prepare themselves, or to better prepare themselves to be tested for this part of the course, inshallah tabarak wa ta'ala. I tried before on this, as we started the course, and this is why we wanted today's or this week's course to be taped, so that I don't have to say the same thing for, say, if it's 25 brothers, that I have to give the same half hour, 45 minute talk 25 times because someone said I didn't come or I wasn't there. And the people who were there, they didn't take notes, they didn't write down what they had to do and what have you. So now everything will be available, so that we can try to maximize our time and get the most benefit, inshallah ta'ala. This part of the course, I had asked the people before to take a piece of paper, to write all of the surahs that I told you that you have to be tested on, and to sit with Abdul Aziz, and if he checks you on each surah or the ayat that the recitation is proper and correct, then you'll be certified and we'll give you a certificate. That was about 4 or 5 months ago. No one has been tested on those surahs yet. At any rate, we're going to have for whoever wants. We're going to give them the copy of the testing paper that they might be able to take to Abdulaziz or even the brother Ahmed or some of the other brothers we might point out, inshallah ta'ala, to test you to make sure that your recitation is proper and your tajweed is in place of these surahs, inshallah tabarak wa ta'ala. As all of the testing, we're not going to be able to just do it right here. As you can see, just to listen to everyone recite his portion of the Quran is going to take time. So those people might be doing those testing might be doing it in other locations for the sisters the same, and that the people would have to attend, and then everybody would be tested a certain amount, will be tested each day, inshallah tabarak wa ta'ala. Also, as we had, forgot to mention, also as we had the listening to the Mohsin Khan translation of the Quran, we also want the listening to the Arabic Quran from Surah Al-Fatiha Tanas by Imam Al-Husri Rahimahullah, the Imam of the Qurra, that we might be able to hear the Quran and follow along from the beginning to the end. This will definitely be requirement for the people who will be tested on all of these courses to get the highest type of certification. And this, we're going to try to have someone who's going to have the time, inshallah ta'ala, 4 days a week or so, where they might be able to listen to a half hour or 45 minutes. And then whoever will be conducting that course, he will be the one in charge for starting and then stopping and taking the attendance to find out who was there and who heard what portions of the Quran that they heard. And we hope that this might be ongoing also, inshallah ta'ala. And I can say for the brothers and the sisters who are learning how to read Arabic, that this and to read the Quran and the Sunnah, that this is also helpful in listening to the Quran being recited properly while you have the Mus'haf in front of you and you're following along from the beginning of the Quran to the end of the Quran, inshaAllah tabarak wa ta'ala. Naam. Also, we're developing a booklet for the section on etiquettes and manners and good character. If we don't use the book of manners from the book Bulugh al-Maram by Hafiz ibn Hajar, which has been translated into English. If we don't use that, then we'll use our own booklet, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala. On that class, like we're going to try to do with some of these classes that we're able to, we're going to conduct them right here in the masjid after Salatul Maghrib, inshallah ta'ala, where we will read through, which is going to be ayat and hadith, which we'll read through the ayat and the hadith, and then we will give an explanation of the ulama by way of questions and answers to these ayat and hadith, and then those same questions and answers that are used in order to give a tafsir of these ayat and an explanation of the hadith, then these same questions and answers would be the test. Whoever passes those tests with 95 and above, and maybe some of the brothers might force us to bring the test score to 91 and above, now whoever passes it will certify to be able to teach this course. Also, with this etiquettes and manners, there'll probably be in every part of it examples, like in keeping family ties and being kind to your parents and other aspects of the character and etiquettes in Islam. Will probably be asked to give examples, and that will be a part of the testing also, inshallah ta'ala. These tests on these type of courses, there will be written tests, as opposed to those other, like the Quranic recitation and the Abjadiyya, the Arabic reader, those tests will be oral tests, or like listening to the Quran and listening to the translation of the Quran. And the likes of these tests, there'll be, inshallah ta'ala, written tests where the questions and answers will be given, and we'll give a certain amount of questions and answers during the course. Then there'll be one big final test, say 300 questions or whatever the case might be. And then whoever passed that, then he will get a certificate and say that he's certified, inshallah ta'ala, to teach that. So as that class is going, then the masses of the Muslims might be able to benefit, even if they don't want to participate in taking the test, that they might be able to participate while we're going over what will be tested, inshallah tabarak wa ta'ala. Also, we're going to have two different aqidas, and maybe even three, inshallah ta'ala. They're all by the Imam of Ahl Sunnah, Ahmad ibn Muhammad rahimahullah. One of which is the Sunnah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died upon, and the characteristics of a believer from Ahl Sunnah. And both of these aqidas have been presented in the Arabic and the English, and the khutbahs here at Masjid Ahl Sunnah. But what we're going to develop is an explanation for these aqidas, and then there are going to be questions, and the explanation will be also in a question and answer form. And then whoever wants to take that test, then they will have to answer, or she will answer the questions. And the masses of the Muslims who just want to benefit can listen to the aqidah, the Arabic, the translation, and the explanation, inshallah tabarak wa ta'ala. Also, the brothers and sisters who will take the tests in the light of these courses in character and manners and etiquettes, or also these courses in aqidah, and the same thing with the tahara, the salat, and the ghusl and wudu of the tahara in general, that they will be tested orally on the reading of the Arabic text, that they read the Arabic text properly, and then they will be tested with the questions and answers to show that in fact they understand the translation or the explanation of these texts, inshallah tabarak wa ta'ala. We've been working on this for some time, and it's almost finished, inshallah tabarak wa ta'ala. And we'll probably be working on it as we go along. And then when we finish delivering the course, inshallah ta'ala, probably at the end, the questions and the answers and everything will be made out. And then the people could take those booklets, inshallah ta'ala, and use them as study guides to prepare for the tests when they'll be delivered. Inshallah ta'ala will probably take some different days during the year. I don't know if we're going to be able to every other week or whatever the case may be, so the people might be able to be tested and the likes of these subjects, inshallah tabarak wa ta'ala. I think that I covered everything with the exception of the memorization of khutbatul haja. That will be the English translation, or that will be the Arabic and an English translation. And whoever passed all of these courses, then we're going to certify them to be imams or teachers or da'is, inshallah ta'ala, in masjids or prisons or halfway houses, inshallah tabarak wa ta'ala. As this course, we try to make it comprehensive and general enough that it might be able to benefit the Muslims on a basic level for the men and the women, inshallah ta'ala. This is the course and classes that we want to present. And we hope that the brothers and the sisters participate, inshallah ta'ala, so that we might get these classes ongoing. Just remind, as I looked at one of the brothers, just remembered the last one that I forgot to mention. We're developing, if we don't use the two books of Dhikr and Dua by Al-Qahtani, that we'll have our own book developed, inshallah ta'ala, here at Masjid Ahl Sunnah. And that's on Dhikr and Dua. And that a person, what we'll go do in that class is to make sure that the people are able to read the Dua and the Dhikr properly. If they're able to read the Dua and the Dhikr properly, then they will be qualified in order to teach that class, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala. So the testing on that would just be that they will have the book and that they will be able to read it fluently and correctly, inshallah ta'ala. And then if they pass that test, then they'll be able to teach that class. So whoever is certified in one class or two or three or more, they'd be able to teach those particular classes that they're certified in. And then who's ever got certificates in every one of these classes, then those people will be certified as being able to be imams or da'is or teachers or what have you in the general sense, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Sometimes the people who are about nothing, and you hate to even have to deal with them, but sometimes when we cover the likes of these topics, we have to make it clear, because some of the brothers, unfortunately, they get wung off by the likes of people who are about nothing to say, how is this going to qualify you to be an imam? Going through this course, how is it going to qualify you to being an imam? When you read through the Quran in Arabic and you go through the English translation, you're going to come across an ayat where Allah Ta'ala says, Surah Al-Isra, وَلَا تَقُفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ سَمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. And don't say what you have no knowledge of. Indeed, the hearing, the sight, and the intellect will all be questioned. So here a person, if he's qualified to be an imam, he's going to, with what he's learned, he's going to teach that. He's not going to teach what he hasn't learned. Everyone who's qualified is going to be qualified to that level, and they're going to teach that level. So for the people who might question, you ain't no really imam, and you ain't qualified. This is for the people who don't understand how this knowledge has been passed on, unfortunately, and that people are in different levels of their qualification. And this has always been the case of the ulama, past and present. If you mention the name like Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, you say, MashaAllah, that was one level. If you mention the likes of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, that was one level. And then there are other ulama who are on other levels lower than the level of Imam al-Bukhari. As we mentioned before, how many of you know some of the shuyukh of Imam al-Bukhari? You don't even know them. Nah. But they were on one level, and others are on other levels, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala. And this is definitely a level that might be able to benefit the Muslims, as you have many of the imams and teachers and da'is who are on a lesser level than what has been presented, and they're teaching the people, wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. So long as a person holds closely to what he knows and he stays away from what he doesn't know, he's going to be okay. And we could take with the likes of an example of the imam. Basically, he's going to lead the salah, give some classes, and deliver the Friday khutbah. Now, the classes he's going to give, he has a whole list of classes that he was certified in. He's going to teach those classes. Now, alright, the khutbah, what is he going to do? He knows how to read Arabic properly. He knows how to read the Quran properly. And he's went through the translation of the Quran. And he's went through or the translation of Riyadu Salihin or Gardens of the Righteous. He can take an example if he went through the Quran. He might take a portion of the Quran. Alright, in the khutbah, he'll read the Arabic of it, then he'll read the English of it, and then he'll encourage the Muslims to practice it by tying it to their lives and giving examples of it. Now, this is sufficient. Somebody say, he don't know the tafsir and this and that. They're going to have the basic questions. And besides, Mursin Khan, if you read on it, that's the tafsir is included. So he brings you basically the full meaning of it, inshallah ta'ala. And someone, he can take any surah that he like, and then just encourage the people to practice whatever in the surah. For example, he'll read Surah Al-Ikhlas, قُلُ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ. Now, he'll show, read it, he'll show the importance of correct belief in Islam. And it's all mentioned right there in the surah. Now, correct belief. Also, this belief here, correct belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is going to be covered in the sunnah that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died upon by Imam Ahmad. And is going to be covered in the characteristics of a believer from Ahl al-Sunnah wal Jama'ah by Imam Ahmad. So in there he's going to have more evidences tied to the Aqidah and belief in Allah and examples. He's going to be able to present that. Bam, that's the khutbah. Or for example, he might want to take Riyadu Salihin, take the chapter on patience. Start off with a couple of the ayat, read the Arabic, read the translation, read the hadith, read the Arabic, read the translation. And even if he had to have the paper, there's no problem. He had the paper right there in front of him when he did the khutbah, read the Arabic, read the translation, it's okay. I know we were right there in Al-Madinah for all of my years, and the imams used to read the khutbah right there in the Prophet's masjid from the news, from the paper right there in their hand, just like this. And they're imams on a higher level than all of the imams, all of us here. They're on a level way higher than us. And they used to have it right there in front of them, and they used to read it. This was the same case in Mecca. They'd have the paper right there, read the khutbah to the people, and then lead the salah. Now, all of this is okay. Alhamdulillah, basic, simple knowledge, right to the point, and that the Muslims might be able to benefit instead of what many times the brothers do. You know, they get on the minbar, then they just start shooting from their hip, whatever was the issues in the newspapers. Nah, whatever was in the news, whichever was in the media, take it, go for it. And you know he's not on that level. He's just going to take chapters. With all the salihin, honesty, muraqabah, self-evaluation. Nah, read ayat, enjoining what is right, forbidding what is wrong, read that chapter, explain that, give examples. Nah, Riyadu Salihin, if you mention it, all of those are beautiful khutbas. Khutbah, everybody wants, you know, the high power, spectacular khutbah. Man, you read Riyadu Salihin, teach people how to practice Islam. Take the Quran, read a certain portion of it, read the Arabic, read the translation, encourage the believers to practice it. Man, what are people looking for in the khutbah? No. The movies are at the movies. No. The movies are at the movies. Nobody's coming to the khutbah to look for some type of entertainment. He's coming to look, to learn how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly. Wallahi, those things, simple, just as simple and straightforward as that, is so beneficial. But how many places you don't find this going on? So the people will be qualified in these levels, inshallah ta'ala. And the likes of these classes, if they can go on in our masjid, may Allah help us, and they can go on in other masjids, inshallah ta'ala, which will be very beneficial. You don't think it's beneficial to gather the Muslims together, open up the Mursin Khan translation of the Quran, and then to read it? No. Any questions you have, write your questions down, take your questions to someone who might be able to answer them, and then get them answered. But what's straightforward and understood from the Quran, you could take that and then work with it. This is what we hope that we can get started on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. If there are any questions or comments on what's been presented today, we'll try to handle that after the event, inshallah. I want to let the brother make wudu. Bismillah, I forgot something. Brother just reminded me. The adhan and the iqama is also going to be a class. Now, the adhan and the iqama is also going to be one of the classes, inshallah ta'ala. Too, I meant to mention that so many of the, believe it or not, so many of the imams from around the country have asked me, do I know of any people who could be the imam? Nah. Do I know of any people who could be the imam? I used to always say no. They say somebody in the masjid has to be able to be qualified. I say yes, there probably are brothers who are qualified, but I don't know those brothers. Hopefully by way of this, inshallah ta'ala, we might be able to find out which brothers are qualified. Like some of the brothers may be qualified already, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala. Now, some brothers might already be qualified right from the door. We're just going to test them to make sure that it's the way they say it is, inshallah. And then we will be able to have, say, with comfort, that so-and-so is qualified to be an imam. And this is needed whether it's in the prison system or the halfway houses or masjids, that imam, just this in so many places is not even available. And we, if we're ungrateful, that's what we'll be. But we have the opportunity at this masjid, alhamdulillah, to at least learn all of those basics. And if not to be an imam at any masjid or prison or halfway house or hospital, and believe it or not, even the hospitals nowadays, I forgot about that, have been asking too, as they're looking for imams. Now, and really even the hospital situation is not all the way situated. But I'm going to tell you a little inside secret, inshallah, if we work at it, that we will have that wide open. The hospitals are in need of imams, chaplains, whatever they want to call them. More so than they really realize it. Who's going to make them realize it? We are. We're going to go in on a voluntary basis, professional, nice thobe, you know what I'm saying? Kufi, come in clean, shoes shining, act together, certificates, qualifications, references from the masjid, that we want to be here to volunteer to visit the sick Muslims and to encourage them and to show them things that will be needed to help them here at the hospital. Also, we understand that you have quite a few Muslim employees and we would like to donate our services for a Jumu'ah service here at your hospital, whatever like that. It's going to start off on a volunteer basis, but it's going to be paid in the end. You know, everybody's looking for money, but what's better than money is a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after all of the reward is gotten, then the latter people can just get a job at the hospital as the imam. Now, but the real reward is going to be from the people participating. Like you see all of these prison chaplains. Y'all don't know, but really all of the brothers were volunteers for years in the prisons, for years. This is not new. You're talking about chaplains for the last 10, 15 years or whatever. People was donating time teaching the Muslims Islam in the prison systems way back 25, 30 years ago. And all of it was volunteer. Now, then after they got things going, the institutions saw the importance of it, then they hired the people and paid them a salary. Now, this will benefit any hospital system to have a Muslim chaplain. It will benefit them. Anytime they get into a problem with an employee or the patient or whatever, they just call you to take care of it. They don't even have to get bothered with that. Excuse me, no disrespect to your religion. You know we have someone qualified on hand. Imam, they be saying Imam. Imam so and so. Now, this is his extension. Please give him a call. He'll be able to handle it. Send it to you. He'll walk around, remind the patients who are dying to say La ilaha illallah, teach the other people to make salat sitting down, laying down, how to make wudu in that state, yammum, whatever the case may be, like this. These were going to be jobs in the future for the Muslims. Don't be lazy. There's a whole bunch of jobs for the Muslims, telling you right now. Islam is the haq, and America has accepted it. Islam is the haq, and America has accepted it, one way or the other. And really, there's a lot of money out there that the kuffar are waiting to give you as soon as you're ready to take the money. And that's going to be by working. Now, and this is one of the avenues here, because I know myself, I was asked by quite a few hospitals to be an imam. I didn't have the time to volunteer or whatever. And these positions, they're going to pay good. When they make a position, the position won't pay. When they make positions like this, you're going to be going in the door $20, $25, $30 an hour on in the door, because these are going to be big. These are big positions. Big positions. With the kuffar, you're going to come across strong. It's going to be a big position. You're going to have your certificates. You're going to have your qualifications. Everything is going to be in place, inshallah ta'ala. And this is going to be good jobs, halal earnings for the brothers in the future. Just like, and I'll end on this other point, whoever wants to make money. In your halal foods, there's been money already that everybody's seen. But there's money in the halal business that y'all haven't touched yet. Because the people in halal, they doing that. But they need somebody else to do something else. Hotels are ready to serve halal food. You don't know that? Now you know. Now, hotels are ready to serve halal food. You don't know how many Muslim conventions are held in these hotels around America. Conventions. You don't know how many Muslim businessmen are going through these hotels. You don't know that the hotels will buy your food, the halal package, to offer it as a part of their hotel package. And when you start, you want to start at the big ones. You know what I'm saying? Hilton, Marriott, Sheraton. Hotels that's going to pay you money. You don't want to start. You're eventually going to filter down to whoever. But you want to start off with the ones that are holding these big conventions and stuff like that. And you want to, even if you start off with convention contracts, for example. The Muslims go to hotels to make a deal for their conference to be held on Labor Day, 4th of July, Christmas, whatever the case may be. The hotel is going to say, oh, no, even we're more accommodating. The Muslims, we have so-and-so who handles our department for the Muslim conferences and what have you. We have, the halal foods and everything. Just see our person. Now,
You can even be the one who will be in charge. That could be just a job right there, just to be in charge of the conference part of the hotels. Nah. So this is, it's money out there. The airlines, y'all forget the planes is flying every day. And they be giving little snacks and this and that and what have you. And if you call ahead of time, they give you a vegetarian hookup. Or if you call early enough, they give you a kosher. What do you think getting paid on the kosher thing? Jews getting paid. Muslims be on the plane too. You got to eat the kosher here. You know why? Because you don't want to get paid so that the Muslims can eat the halal. All you have to do is set up your company. All right, you're going to portion it off in their packet, find the codes, regulations for the food packaging on the airlines and stuff like that. Get yourself together, set up your corporation, get your business office, whatever. If you want to, run it out of the masjid. You don't want to have an office, you have a location like that. Get everything together, get your briefcase, nice stove, you know what I'm saying? You want to put a little suit jacket on over top of that or something like that. Go in, represent this hop, and get that money. Money is out there to be made, but people, we're lazy. And this is, as you know, even New Jersey had passed some type of bill around the halal that they want to get involved in certifying. Nah, you know why? Y'all don't want to get no jobs. How many people know how to certify is food halal or not Islamically? Nobody. Who wants to know? Nobody. Nah, y'all don't want no money, man. People running for money. This is all money. I told the brothers before. You heard of the miswak? Where is it grown in America? Where is the miswak grown in America? And who sells it? No, nobody. Why don't you do it? You can't get paid? I say all the stuff I mentioned before, but I just mention it again. Just for the sake of saying I mentioned it and you forgot it. You didn't want to get paid. But some of these things too, that they are going to be jobs in the future for the Muslims. And even whether you believe it or not, you might encourage some of the children. You know they're going to start having Islamic studies in the public schools, right? You didn't know that? Astaghfirullah. They teach kufr in the public schools? Huh? They're going to be teaching Islam in the public schools, man. It's going to be an extracurricular activity for the Muslims. Right here in New Jersey, 95% of the Muslim children attend public schools. Nah. What they're getting in public schools? Nothing. Why they ain't getting nothing? You ain't offered them nothing, man. If you offered them something, they might have something. You didn't offer them nothing. You offered them something? No, you didn't offer them nothing. You won't qualify yourself to even be qualified to offer them something. That's why they don't have anything there. Okay, they're going to have some, alhamdulillah, there's going to be some other positions available everywhere. There are positions available everywhere. Now, but we have to qualify ourselves for those positions. Now, this is going to be one of the ways that we begin to qualify ourselves, inshallah ta'ala, for the likes of some of these positions. Now,
I was told that it's not looked upon very well to start out saying that you're going to be an imam or something like that. You should just study. If Allah wants you to be an imam, then an opportunity will present itself.
No, I heard some of the ulama say it's perfectly permissible, and rather it's recommended to say you want to be the imam or something like this. And then to go through a course and to strive to be that. Nah. And I heard my Shaykh saying in the Prophet's Masjid, rahimahullah, you wouldn't want your boy to be on top of this minbar that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to be upon, and to encourage him to qualify himself to get the likes of that position is blameworthy. Subhanallah, it's praiseworthy. Now, people that strive for that position, of course, whatever you strive to do in your life, you have to have sincerity for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever you do. But sincerity for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and qualifications to sincerely want to spread
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. No, this is perfectly okay. No. What do you think the Quran schools is filled with? People who don't want to leave the salat? Nah. The Quran schools is pushing out all over the world people who are going to be imams, who are going to be leading the salat in the masjid. No. Yes. Where will we prepare the food at? If you don't want to make money, it's on you. The brother said, we're going to prepare the halal food and all this and that and all that. Man, I don't got nothing to do with that. That's for whoever want to make money. I'm just telling you that it's money to be made, and you got to make that. Because I done heard sometimes that some of the airlines just saying, where y'all get y'all food from? Nah, where y'all get y'all food from? You tell me who's selling to the airlines. Who's selling to the airlines? You know somebody selling to airlines? They got a company set up, they're growing a halal, they're packaging, this, that, and they're selling it to the airlines. You know who's doing that? I don't know who's doing that. I bet you Budweiser in touch with the airlines. Nah, Budweiser is getting paid. They went and told them, I'm Mr. Bud. This is my business, I got my company, this, that. They make certain cans, little, you've seen in the airport, little. They make little plain size joints, whatever you want. You got to accommodate it for people to get paid. Some of these other companies, Kellogg's and stuff like that, they make some neutral grains and little things. They make it, you know, to fit in a little box, so you just give it to people, eat it, wrap it in a plastic, so on and so forth. Everybody's getting paid, man. And we can get paid and cater to the Muslims also at the same time, inshallah ta'ala. Even before we were saying before, we ended on this, established the salat. We're saying who we need a funeral home for the Muslims, right? There's no funeral home. No. Alright, that's okay. Is there money in that business? This is money. Who wanna make that? Everybody put their hands down, man. Nobody don't want to make that money. You know what? We said before right here in the masjid, whoever goes to school to be a mortician and learn how to run a funeral home and get all of his certifications and all of that, we'll pay for him. Ain't nobody want to go to school for that? You ready to go to school? Well, there's a whole bunch of people graduated with the degree. We got more doctors than anything. Show me where the Muslim hospital at. No, we ain't talking about that. See, when we talk about sending somebody to school, he's going to be under contract with us. When he go to school, he ain't going to be one of those. He's going to be the Muslim one of those. No. There's a difference. No, seriously. There's a difference between being a mortician who's a Muslim and being the Muslim's mortician. That's the difference. He gonna work for the Muslims. Alright, then they work for the cat. They charge us. The Muslim will charge you for his certification. Nah. The Muslim will charge you just because he's certified. He not gonna say, Alhamdulillah, oh, you Muslim? MashaAllah, look out for the Muslim. He said, I gotta pay bills. Alright, go pay your bills. No. We said we're going to pay for him to go to school. To go to school for that, you have to have already some other basic type of schooling to be able to qualify to go there. I don't know if it means you have to have a bachelor's degree already or associate's degree or whatever the case may be. But we don't have nobody, or all of the people in the masjid or none of the children who are graduating. We don't have no one to say he's going to go there and he's going to be the Muslim business. You think the Muslims in the area wouldn't support him? Huh? Yeah. The area is big too. This area is not no small area. It's a big area. Now the Muslims will be supportive of him. Now, then the prices could become a lot cheaper. He'd probably hire a carpenter. They charge you $700. Y'all saw them little wooden boxes? We charge $700 for? Not. What? He Muslim. What you want him to do? He got to pay lights and stuff. You can hire a carpenter, you know what I'm saying? Carpenters say, I do that for $35. I could do that for $35. Take me an hour. Give me $35 an hour. Something like that. $70 instead of $700. So, it's, you know, all of this is for the future. Maybe y'all might, in some of the circles, encourage somebody to want to do something for Islam. Now, because we got people, I don't know of a profession that we don't have many, many Muslims qualified in. I don't mean myself, I don't know of a profession that we don't have many, many Muslims qualified in. We are Muslims qualified. You wouldn't imagine the qualifications of the Muslims. The Muslims is in everything. And they have a lot of top positions. All right. But we don't have, as Muslims, we don't have nothing. Right? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka. Alhamdulillah.